everybody, and welcome to episode 128 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Savvy Girl Melanie, and I am podcasting to you from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So this episode is a few interviews with some knitters I've met along the way, and a bit of chit-chat with myself, which I am about to do from Saskatoon, because there's a podcast due. So I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I do have some knitting stories. So sit back, put your knitting sticks on a map. I guess we say this a lot. Put your knitting sticks on a map to try to find Saskatoon. Just keep going north and in the middle of the flat prairies. And enjoy the show. And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. So here I am, lying in a strange bed in an attic room somewhere on the Canadian prairies. I don't know where I am. Okay, I know where I am. I'm in Saskatoon, but I have no bearings of where this is in the city, or if I look outside the window, what will I see aside from the blinding sunlight? And the attic room is really pretty. It's white walls and then green ceiling, and someone has painted glow-in-the-dark stars onto the ceiling, and it's slanted ceilings and a wooden rocking chair, and a quilt, and wooden furniture, and overall it's really, really pretty. So what am I doing here, you may ask? I am here to perform at the Saskatoon Fringe Festival. So this is what I've been doing this summer. I started in Regina, Saskatchewan, close to here, but not that close. We started in Regina, went up to Swift Current, also Saskatchewan, went over to Winnipeg, where I've just spent the last 2.5 weeks, and now I'm here in Saskatoon, and then on to Edmonton, and after that, on to Victoria, BC. Gonna see the ocean, which I haven't seen for 2 years. Time to see some ocean. So, I don't know what to talk about, except there's a podcast due. So, let's see. I have a couple interviews I will put after this, which were really interesting. Some people that I met in Winnipeg and who were knitters, so I did an interview with them. What else? Yesterday I was on the road. I'll tell about yesterday. Eric DeWall, who directed my show, and he's a pretty well-known kids performer, fantastic storyteller, he and I drove all the way from Winnipeg to here, and I thought it was maybe a 6-7 hour drive. It took something like 14 hours. That man is a man after my own heart. When I drive with Deborah, she's all about getting to the destination and concentrating on the task at hand, which is, you know, I guess, like I said, point A to point B. Eric, it was so much more fun. We stopped for a coffee at Tim Hortons, We stopped for a coffee at Tim Hortons, and we ended up getting hot chocolate with espresso shots, which is surprisingly good, because it's crappy hot chocolate and crappy espresso, but if you put them together, they cancel each other out and turn into something palpable. So we got that, and it wasn't any good, so we had to go to a different Tim Hortons and exchange them for other hot chocolate with espresso shots, and then we hit the road, but we passed a thrift store on the way out of town. And Eric is the undisputed king of thrift store shopping, so we had to stop. Well, he bought two pairs of pants and a sport jacket, I think. And, yeah, I don't think I bought anything at that stop, but there were a lot of stops. And then we were a little hungry, so we got snacks, and then we left town. And, oh, we stopped so many times. We had to take pictures of a field, of another field, of a field full of water, of a field full of hay bales, of many other fields. We both drank a lot of water, so every little while one of us had to start to pee by the side of the road, which, by the way, is easy when you're a dude, but when you're a girl, woman, whatever, and there are trucks barreling down looking at your shiny, sad, white behind, it's kind of awkward. So, but anyway, it's, you know, it's the Canadian prairies, so there aren't any hills, really. It's just there's visibility for miles away. Yeah, so that was, plus mosquitoes. That was fun. Lots of bites on, anyway. So there were lots of stops for that, and Eric smoked, so he had to stop for his cigarette now and then, and he stops for more snacks. And then we almost ran out of gas because the sun, we were driving west, right? And the sun sets in the west, so I was having trouble enough seeing the road. I didn't notice that pesky little gas light that came on several kilometers before I noticed it. So we limped into a station and got gas about 80 kilometers out of Saskatoon. And we stopped at a ton of thrift stores. I've had some pretty good, I'm not a big, like, let's go to thrifts. I like antiques. I like vintage stores. Thrift stores to me are just generally, things smell a little, and it's not my thing. But when I'm with Eric, it's really fun because he is out, he's from South Africa and he's outfitting his house there. So he seems to know what china is actually vintage china and this and that. And he bought a chair in Winnipeg, which came along in the car. He was going to take it apart to put in his luggage to go back to South Africa. But at this point, it wasn't taken apart. So we had this giant chair plus an A-frame, which we were using to advertise our shows. I think it's called an A-frame. I don't know. Point is, the car was really full, and shopping with him is fun because he knows the prices. And, you know, now I've gotten to know which men's clothes are good brands and around what they're worth just because of a couple weeks of hanging out with him, which is fun. But I had a couple good finds this week. I found some books, which I have really enjoyed reading, including John Fowle's The Collector, which I had never heard of, but it was creepy. Creepy books from the 60s. And what else? I'm getting to that other thing I bought, but I found a Le Sportsac backpack. Completely new. It's absolutely adorable. I think it's a $200 backpack I got for $7, so that was pretty cool. I think Eric wanted it, but it's totally girly. It's too girly even for him, so I took that. And then I found... Okay, sorry, getting to it. Anyone who goes to vintage stores clearly knows that this is where knitting goes to die, and it's sad. There are all these handmade blankets and handmade... this and handmade that, and Eric found a pair of handmade socks for 99 cents that looked completely unworn. They were wool, but they had these long, long hairs, not a halo, but long hairs sticking out of them. It was almost as if it were dog hair, but probably it's the guard hair on the sheep. I don't know. He bought those, so I thought that would get me out of knitting him something, but he's still asking for a hat. So we have to go to a yarn store, and I need to buy stupid yarn and knit him a stupid hat, and I don't want to knit him a hat. And he's asking questions like, what kind of materials won't bother a bald guy? And I was like, I don't know, I don't care. I hate knitting. But I think I'm gonna, he directed my show and he's been really supportive of my show, which is kind of, he wrote it, it's sort of his show, I guess. So I have to knit him a hat. I forget my point. Right, socks. He bought these socks, and I thought, okay, you know, there's actually a fair amount of decent-looking knitwear at these stores. And then I started thinking, you know, I kind of was thinking of maybe convincing Deborah to knit me an afghan at some point, because girl needs an afghan on those cold winter nights, which I know it's July, but, you know, I'm from Edmonton. You got to think ahead to cold winter nights. And I started looking at the afghans, and most of them are pretty hopeless. I mean, they're either... crocheted in a way that is really, really ugly. I mean, we're talking 1970s colors, and I can't, or it feels plasticky. I can't. But I found one yesterday, and at some store in the middle of Nipawani, wherever Margaret Atwood is from. It was a cool town because we went there, and the guy pumping our gas, his dad had gone to school with Margaret Atwood, and so we asked all sorts of questions, you know, did she hang out with other kids? Apparently she didn't. So we got all this Margaret Atwood gossip from the gas guy. But we went to a thrift store there and I found this blanket and it's unused. I mean, I'm going to wash it clearly, but it's a knitted blanket. It's in these really pretty greens and grays and it's all subtle and it has sort of lace-ish knitting on it. And it was $3.99, and Melanie's going to pretend she did it. So if anyone, I guess I'm admitting it on the podcast, but if anyone who doesn't listen to the podcast asks, I am taking full credit for this blanket because look, I saved it. I saved it. Isn't that the same as knitting it? I think it is. I think that's exactly the same. I mean, think of how much sadness this blanket would have had if I hadn't saved it. And I did. So
It's a win-win situation for the blanket and for me. So anyway, back to the road, stopping to pee, stopping to get bitten by mosquitoes, stopping to take pictures, and eventually we made it to Saskatoon. And tomorrow I have a tech rehearsal and probably a TV thing, and the madness begins once again. Oh, my chicken. I think I mentioned that on the last podcast, how I bought a crocheted chicken pot holder counter protector thing in memory of my little bird that I miss more than anything. It's been pretty cheery. I brought this little chicken with me. Sometimes this girl just needs to cuddle a flat crocheted chicken at night when she has nobody else to cuddle. So this chicken and I is sort of my security chicken this summer. And it's crocheted, so savvy mom, look at this. So I have this crocheted chicken, and we've been traveling Canada together. Kind of weird, but hey, knitting is weird, so what you gonna do? My show has been going really, really well. So I'm doing Red Hot Mama, a Sophie Tucker cabaret, which is written by this guy I keep talking about, Eric. So he wrote the show. He didn't write the music. They're Sophie Tucker songs. And if you don't know who Sophie Tucker is, look it up. She was a vaudeville singer. She was extremely famous. She was a Jewish performer. And I hadn't heard of her initially, except it seems like everybody else has, so clearly there was a large gap in my education, which has now been filled, and I'm now the expert. She was a large woman, which is making it a bit hard for me because I was trying to lose weight, and all of a sudden everyone says, oh wow, you look so thin to be Sophie Tucker, and I think, you know what, I'm just gonna go eat some fries. So, this may not have been the healthiest last 3 weeks, slash really yesterday. Oh, and the angel food cake I ate this morning because I don't have any other food here. However, starting now, I'm going to eat healthy because I don't want to be as large as Sophie Tucker was. Yeah. But, you know, the dress stretches, so it's really tempting. However, starts today, eating healthy, maybe trying to exercise in Saskatoon, running from mosquitoes, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, the show's going really well. It got 5 stars. 5 stars from the CBC in Winnipeg. It pretty much sold out the entire run in Winnipeg. It was a smallish theater. 100 seats, sold out. People were lining up 3 hours in advance to get tickets, which was really cool for me because I got to spy on the line. Here, it's a 250-seat theater and a smaller festival. So I don't know if I'm going to sell it out, but I'm going to try. Then in Edmonton, I'm back to a smaller theater, 100 seats again, and I expect to sell out that run. So if you're in Saskatoon or Edmonton, or know anybody, spread the word, oh, Victoria! Because I'm going to Victoria afterwards at the very end of August. And it's a great show. It's really fun. I'm really proud of this show, and I've already gotten a couple offers from theaters to do it as part of their seasons, which is really exciting. So if you own a theater and are looking for a Sophie Tucker show, or hey, my knitting show, or anything. This girl's gotta eat, although not as much as I've been eating. So girls gotta eat healthy food. Mm-hmm. What else? Nothing much has been going on with the knitting music lately. I've just been too busy doing the Sophie Tucker thing. And oh, I'm also doing a Gershwin show in Edmonton, which is in a week, which I need to write today. So there hasn't been a lot of time to promote the knitting music. However, I think I got to get on that soon. That CD should be in every knitting store. There is no reason why they're not distributed to every knitting store ever. Yeah. Not sure exactly how to do that. I have a distributor, but they're not at every knitting store. So perhaps I need a different distributor. I don't know. But I'm working on that. I should be singing at knitting festivals. There's so much to do, people. I need someone to help me. So there's that. I will be talking more knitting music and things about knitting music soon, but right now it's more Sophie Tucker and the hat I need to knit, Eric, and the afghan that I totally knit, and the beautiful prairies in the summertime, which, you know, I used to sing in Europe in the summer. I used to sing in Italy, or it was usually Italy or Israel, or go to Frankfurt. And then I realized that I've spent half a decade almost touring in Canada, which, you know, it's very, I kind of miss going to Europe in the summer, because summer in Europe, spring in Europe is gorgeous, summer in Europe is also gorgeous. However, this is kind of fun. It's fun hopping around the prairies with a group of people. We were all hanging out in Winnipeg, now we're all hanging out in Saskatoon. And if you're in a city with a fringe festival, because a lot of you Americans have fringe festivals, Minnesota, Colorado, Denver, a lot of the cities, go to your fringe festival. It's good for you. Or just come to the one I'm at and see my show.
I'm the last of the red hot mamas. They've all cooled down with me. Baby vamps say, what do they know? Get your hot stuff from this volcano. I'm an overheated, try and beat it. Ootsie, tootsie, hot and tot.
Rebecca, who is my billet here in Regina, and as I mentioned earlier, she's a knitter.
You bet.
So, what got you into knitting?
I started with 4-H knitting, and it was a class that my mom taught, so she forced me to do it. I really wasn't interested, but in the end, I ended up loving it, and I'll never admit that to her, but I think she probably knows.
So, how old were you when she forced you to knit?
12, roughly.
Wow. And you're knitting right now. You're knitting socks.
Yep. For the last couple of years, that's pretty much all I've done is socks. But I've done that plus World War I retro toques and things like that they used to send to the soldiers. So
what? Why are you not wearing your knitted socks today? That's a very important question.
If I had more bamboo knit, wool knit ones, I would, but I find that in the summer, if you're working outside, they're a little bit, the yarn I have isn't the best, some of them, so. But yeah, bamboo, definitely I would have.
Do you knit for your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Does he let you? Does he wear things you knit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
The socks are a big hit, especially in the winter. I've knit him quite a few toques and scarves. One scarf actually has the Brooklyn Bridge. It's a double-sided one with it's a mirror image on both sides that you knit at once. So, yeah, he's got lots of stuff.
Wow. And he approves of this habit of yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much the standard with any road trip or movie. I'll be knitting in the passenger seat or while we're watching a movie, or else I fall asleep. So
I'm glad his company is that stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
You need your knitting to keep you awake. So what kind of yarns do you prefer? What are your yarns? Here up here in Regina, what happens when you need yarns and such?
There's not a whole lot of choice. There's a good knitting store downtown. I can't think of what it's called, but there is one. But other than that, it's kind of box stores or buying it online.
And what are your yarns of choice, ideally?
I use a lot of Patton's yarn. They're sock yarn. I like the striping, and some of them are kind of a jacquard. Makes it look like a jacquard pattern when you knit it, but it's all just one ball of yarn. So, yeah, they've got some nice stuff.
And are you alone? Are you alone in your love of knitting?
I am.
That's sad. I mean, I saw your mom looking at a sock book with you, so you're not completely alone.
No, she's about the... I don't know anybody close to my own age that knits here, but...
Maybe you need to leave Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Go. I mean, there was a young girl knitting in Swift Current, so... You could be her mentor.
Yeah, so move on up and go to Swift Current.
Is that north? I don't even know. Move on east, west, go to Swift Current. Or New York. So you should go to New York and buy yarn.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to do that.
Sell the house. You have a lovely house. You could probably get a fair amount of yarn.
Yep.
In trade for this house. And then you could knit a... What's that thing your husband lives in during the week? What's that called?
Geodome.
Yeah, can you talk about the geodome? It's
sure.
So neat.
So yeah, it's basically... it kind of looks like a... ball or a circle or whatever with wood finished on the inside and shingled right top to bottom on the outside.
And it's a dome, like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a circle.
Yep. Yep, exact circle.
Wow. That is so neat. He didn't build it. He bought it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody built it in the mid-70s that isn't a carpenter at all, but decided he was going to try it, and it has no screws in the whole frame of it. It's all built wood with wood doweling. So.
And you're not afraid this geodome is going to fall on your husband?
Nope. I think it'll be just perfect.
Well, that's good. And you've got a cat who doesn't approve, or does approve of yarn. I was talking about her earlier on the podcast. Mm-hmm. She brings yarny presents to one's door.
You bet.
What makes her do this?
I don't know if it's some kind of a kitten thing that she just didn't grow out of or what, but usually an hour after you're sleeping, you'll hear kind of yowly meowing. It's quite loud all the way up the stairs with a ball of yarn.
Wow. Yeah. Does she harass your knitting itself?
No, we've kind of come to a mutual understanding. She leaves me alone and she'll sit with me, mm-hmm. but not touch the yarn.
And have you ever knit a cat cozy?
I know. I've done some little toque kind of things I did, but they didn't really work out too good, so not much for the cat. She's missing out.
But you did crochet a cat toy. Your baby, your cat, kitten sitting a kitten right now, and it's the worst kitten ever.
Mm-hmm.
She's so cute, but she is so bad. All it wants to do is destroy everything.
Yep.
Really
much.
Cute, though. But you, tell me, what's this toy? Did you make it up?
Yeah, so I just crocheted a big long chain and then tied a bunch of bells onto the bottom of it, and it seems to be the kitten's most favorite toy, so.
Aside from legs, arms, cardboard.
Hands,
anything it can get, the little kitteny teeth, lasers.
Pretty much.
So is there a project that you haven't knit yet that you're hoping to knit? Or a sort of knitting.
Yes. I want to do some sort of a sweater, shirt, garment type thing. But I haven't found any. I've tried it in the past. I haven't found the right yarn to go with what I want to do. So I'm not. It's going to be something, a retro pattern from, say, the 50s. Some sort of a
nice
shirt or something.
But. And do you know how to alter the patterns?
Not really. No. It'd have to pretty much be the right size.
But you're pretty size specific. You look like a solid 6, maybe 8.
Yeah, I'm 8 or 10.
That should be easy. That should be easy to match.
Yeah, I think. And yarn always has a little bit of give, so some I'll just yarn. Rely on the give. Yeah.
So is there something you absolutely won't knit that you hate knitting? Not socks, clearly.
No, socks have been okay. Not like the scarves? Most stuff. No, I don't mind scarves. Most of it's okay. I'll try it. At least once, maybe not twice, but.
Girl needs to try everything once mm-hmm. in life.
Yep.
Yep. Even if it's hard, you mm-hmm. have to try it once.
I guess I'm not a fan of two, three colors and having all that at once.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I tried it, and I tried a toque that was like that, and it just, didn't
Was that happen. Stranded knitting or intarsia? I don't remember.
It was kind of intarsia. Like, that'd be what it was closest to, but I wasn't feeling it. It didn't make it. Threw it out.
Yeah. Did you finish it? No.
I only got a couple inches done, and I knew enough to know it's not going to happen.
That's better than... Oh, it's better than having a big stash, but how is your stash? Because
it's pretty big.
I didn't see it, but I trust you.
Yeah, I got mostly the sock yarn, but I've got quite a bit hanging around, it seems.
And you're not just a knitter. You made the beautiful quilt that was on the bed I stayed in. Mm-hmm. And more importantly to me, you make bras.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that neat? What made you make bras? I mean, your boobs look relatively standard looking at them.
That's the same question the teacher asked me. Is she asked why you'd want to learn to make it, but I just thought it's something different and I've never tried it.
They look like a C34 to 36.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm the boob whisperer. I can tell. So you just wanted to try it?
Yep. Just something different, and I guess I just find a lot of home-sewed things you can tell are home-sewed, and to kind of see if you can get more of a professional edge, so take the class from a teacher that specializes in that was my thought.
Well, it looks great. You showed me the bra you made with the black and the sexy green lace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has your husband seen that yet?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sure he approves of your bra making.
Yep, I've come a long way, that's for sure. It's turned out well.
And if he, gets man boobs one day, you are ready.
That's right, yeah.
Poor man. He doesn't have man boobs. For the record, he's very good looking and does not have man boobs right now. Well, is there anything else you want to say to the knitters in rural areas? Because you're not in a rural area, but if you're alone in Regina, I'm sure there are people alone in, places in the prairies.
Yeah, all kinds. Yeah, you just got to keep doing what you love and make more of an effort than I have to find other people like-minded, because I'm sure they're out there.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. You're the best billet. And, oh, important question. What made you decide to be nice enough to let a nice performing artist stay in your lovely house instead of, you know, under a bridge in Regina?
Just the spirit moved me, I guess, and we ended up, you're an awesome billet, and I would take you anytime. So it worked out well. It was a good experience. Recommend it.
Thank you. She recommends being a billet and billeting me, people, so just so you know.
Yeah, you specific, billet in general. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I gotta go do a show, but thank you, and have good luck building your deck. She's building a deck.
Thank you.
She makes bras, she builds decks. This girl, she's a catch. She's caught, but she's a good catch, so just saying.
I was born in the hot Bahamas, and now I'm in my living prime. The flapper's neck and don't know what it's all about. Oh, I kiss you and you call the fire going out. I'm the last of the red hot mamas, getting hotter all the time.
So here I am in Winnipeg, and who am I with?
Irene.
And Jan.
And you're knitters.
Yes, we're knitters. We actually have a knitting group, a knitting club, if you want to call it.
Well, tell me about it.
Okay, you want to start?
Well, I'm the unknitter in the club.
You take other people's knitting?
Not non-knitter, but unknitter. Yes, I have a beautiful sweater that I started in 1990. It's style change, so I am painstakingly taking out tiny stitches in mohair, and it's driving me crazy, and the only reason I'm doing it is because it's in it. Sit among my friends drinking coffee, eating dessert, and chatting.
Wow. Do they mock you for this?
No, they don't. They just think they should have just... Well, do you?
No.
I really should have just kept going, but I actually changed the pattern a little bit, and then I couldn't remember how I did it, so I'll just rip it out.
Nice.
Not easy.
Not mohair.
Mohair sticks.
And it's got a nice halo. I mean, if you don't unknit it. After a while.
I love the halo, yes.
And how about you? What are you knitting or unknitting?
Well, I'm a prolific knitter, but I can't stop knitting.
Well, where's your knitting? Do you have it with you?
Yes, I do. I have it in my bag.
Because you're not wearing any.
Yeah, no, I'm not wearing it. It's too hot, but I am knitting a summer sweater at the present time. And I also knit without a pattern because I have a lot of problems reading patterns. And then I get frustrated. So.
Whoa, that's very pretty. Let me guess. It's not bamboo. It's cotton.
It's an Italian yarn, and it's cotton with a little bit of maybe poly something or other in it. I'm not sure what.
Did you buy that in New York?
No, I bought it at my favorite knitting store in Toronto called Romney Wools, which is my favorite knitting store in all of Canada. My son lives in Toronto, so I go there to that knitting shop an awful lot. And what I did was I knit the body of the sweater, because it's a summer sweater with like short sleeves, right? So I knit the body of the sweater, but I knit it going around in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So I knit that. And then this is the collar, and it's going to be kind of like a cowl neck collar. And it'll give me a little sleeve as well.
Oh, lovely.
I'm almost finished the collar, and then I have to sew it to the body of the sweater, and then I'll probably be close to done. I knit scarves and sweaters and hats. Those are the main things that I knit. But the people in our group, each one has a different specialty.
I knit a whole skating dress.
Yes.
A skating dress?
With leotard and skirt and everything and beaded.
For you?
For me. Well, I don't wear it now, but I wore it 15 years ago. I'm an ice dancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Ice dancer.
So how did you get the skirt to do the thing it does on ice? You know how they sort of flounce?
Well, you have to start, on a totally, you know, the never-ending, endless, what do you call it?
The round needles?
Circular needle. Circular needle, that's the word I'm trying to think of. And I cast on 1,200 stitches, and you just pray that you haven't twisted it, because one time I did. And then,
oh, no.
And then you keep decreasing until it gets up to the hips. And then you make the leotard with the long sleeves and raglan, a little turtleneck. And then you sew, you put it on and you sew it on. You have to go at the hips and the front and the back.
Wow. Wow. And you count 1,200 stitches.
Oh, it's 1,200 stitches.
And how long does it take that?
Actually, I'm a pretty fast knitter. And I've also done a lot of, I don't enjoy doing scarves. I enjoy doing things. I knit because I want to get them finished, not because I enjoy the knitting.
Except when you pull things out.
It's now become a quest.
Okay.
Anyway, and I do like mohair, and I like Fair Isle, and I just like nice things. Yes.
And you went to New York. Did you go to any knitting stores? You went to New York. Did you go to any knitting stores in New York?
No, I was too busy doing the shows and the opera and the symphony.
Which opera?
The Cinderella, but the...
Cendrillon?
Yes, that's it. I never remember Cendrillon. They don't say Cendrillon. That's the French one. It is the Italian.
Cenerentola. So that's Rossini. Cendrillon is Massenet's.
Oui. I mean, yes. It was wonderful.
Nice.
And I said, gee, this man's a wonderful singer. And he said, yes, Jan, he's the finest tenor in the world. I said, well, that's good. I recognize that. It was wonderful. I saw Kinky Boots, too.
Ooh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that would be something it would miss. Kinky Boots. Yeah, Kinky Boots. Absolutely.
I took a dinner tour on the Hudson River. Dinner and dance cruise was lovely.
I wanted to say something about the people in our knitting group. So Jan knit this amazing, amazing ice dress. It was just like a dance dress. It was just like amazing. And Sheila in the group, what does Sheila do?
She loves baby things.
She does a lot of baby stuff. So mm-hmm. anybody she knows is having a child, you know, a grandchild or whatever.
She hardly wait to go down and get the wool.
She knits little sweaters and she used to knit baby afghans. Now she knits these little blankets that you put over strollers and stuff and car seats. And
her sweaters are beautiful, like they're double-breasted. Really, really classy.
And does she use a pattern?
You find them at Bloomers. Oh, yeah, she is absolutely to the pattern.
Yeah, she's a really expert knitter.
One of our friends, and I think she's crazy, not just crazy, but she actually rips out the sweaters if her kids don't think it's a perfect size. I said,
are you kidding?
Yes. Yeah. And I said, and she's such a doll.
She starts all over. But Miriam, like, she really can knit these elaborate, gorgeous patterns.
Oh,
shawls,
she understands
sweaters.
Wow.
Stuff. So it's fun, and it's fun that we sort of learn from each other. You know, we learn how to do different things from each other. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of our other friends is knitting this candy pink blanket because her grandchild likes it. She just keeps knitting and knitting.
Her granddaughter, this huge, big, like, Afghani thing.
It's a replacement for one that she previously destroyed.
But the knitting group is fun, and for me, like, I was trying to say before, I'm a compulsive knitter, so... Like, I, you know, I'll knit, like, each winter I'll knit a number of scarves and I give them away as gifts. And I like scarves because I can knit them quickly and it makes a very good gift. But I can't stop knitting. It's really a problem.
I hope you'll never forget to remember me when you're here. Some of these days, oh, I'll leave you lonely. Some of these
while I was wandering around the Winnipeg Fringe postcarding, which is basically giving people postcards for my show, I was often stopped and people mentioned how much they loved the knitting show I did there 2 years ago. Now, one woman I stopped had been in the theater on a very special day, and this was a day when one of the knitters took my knitting skills, or lack thereof, into her own hands. So the next bit is this woman telling the story about... Well, that very, very, very special day.
I was at your show where you had a knitting heckler, and I was like, it's not critical to pick up the stitch, it's fine.
So what happened exactly? It's been 2 years. I mean, I remember, but...
You allowed knitters in for free, and a number showed up, and they were, and for whatever reason, they wanted to sit close to you, so they sat in the front row with an easy touching distance. And then you were telling the story about the songs that the BBC would play to encourage the people at home to support the troops, and knit. And it was going beautifully. We were all captivated.
Thank
and this
you.
Woman stopped the show to correct your knitting.
Did she, was that the show where she took it away?
Yes.
And I was like, it was a prop. I needed it back. She just took it.
Did she at least correct it and then give it back?
It took a while.
She did, but she did fix it because she had to go back to Heroes. No offense.
Well.
But, you know, she obviously felt like she was so involved. I'm gonna give her the benefit of the doubt. She was so involved in the story that she felt that really the knitting had to
if it was for the truth,
for the truth.
had to be right.
There you go.
It was also acrylic, and I don't think they had that back then.
Good point. But she was very forceful, and she thought she was helping. And the rest of us were like, I am so sorry. I know. I'm like, that's a knitting heckler. I've never seen that ever or since.
Okay. No, no. Well, if you're a knitter, which you don't look like one because you don't look like one, you should bring your knitting to my new show.
Well, and the other thing, I hope you put this in the podcast too. You handled it so well because I don't know how I would have handled
yes,
interrupting my
my story to take away my knitting, sort of forcefully. Like she was just.
No, she got up and took it away.
Yeah, yeah. She did, and it wasn't, you know, here, let me help you. It was just, here, you dropped a stitch. But she was just, like, forceful. Anyways, I thought you handled it very well.
Well, thank you so much.
Change my fashion, I'm gonna change my shoes. I'm even gonna change the bootlegger who brings me my booze. Oh, I'm gonna change everything from old to new.
I have about 15 minutes left of this podcast to fill, and I wasn't sure how to do it. I did everything else. I got everything else together, edited, put up earlier today, but there's still this extra bit of space to fill because even though a short podcast would be okay, that's pretty short. So I put a call out on Twitter for suggestions of things to talk about, and three people came back with suggestions, so I am going to talk 5 minutes on each of these things. Okay, and I'm not going to edit it, so let's see how I can do this. And before I begin, consider this a warning. I don't know what's going to come out. I'm really tired. I've been running around Saskatoon all day, rehearsing things in Saskatoon all day. I have an early tech tomorrow. I just retyped a script, made posters, sent out press releases, sent out personal press releases to the synagogues in town because my show is Jewish-themed. Had billet time with my billets. I have done everything all day. So consider this a warning. This may not be as family friendly as one might like. Okay. So the first thing. Movies. Joanne B., who is Empress, E-M-P-Y-R-E-S-S, on Twitter asked, have you seen any good movies lately? Well. I actually haven't. Oh, this one's going to be a little hard. When I went to Europe in May, I went on Air Canada and Air France, and both of those airlines have little TVs so you can watch movies. The thing is, I've noticed on an airplane, when it's an action movie, it's just too loud. Even with my decent earphones, it actually hurts, and I usually get an ear infection later or something. I'm pretty sure it's an ear infection when the noise just gets too loud, and on an airplane, action movies are just too loud. And the romantic comedies are just depressing and insipid. Insipid and depressing. And they perpetrate the myth that we will all meet someone. And at this point, you know what? That's not really helping things. So, strange as it felt at the time, I think I watched Frozen maybe 6 times. By the time I got to the 3rd time through, I just fast-forwarded the parts I didn't like and went to the parts with the cute animated girls. So, Frozen's a good movie. I'm sure anyone with kids has seen Frozen so much they hate themselves and snow. But it was a good airplane movie, and it's really hard not to sing along. Not that the songs are actually that great, but, you know, they're cool, and it's hard not to sing along on the airplane. Possibly it was impossible not to sing along. I did see a show at the Fringe, though, the other day at the Winnipeg Fringe when I was in Winnipeg 2 days ago. And it was Shelby Bond. He's a comedian, and he did a one-man Back to the Future. And he's a good guy. I've shared venues with him. We know each other pretty well. And I love this show, One Man Back to the Future. I forgot how great a movie Back to the Future was, 1985, and how it completely represented my childhood. It puts in context the world in which I lived when I was a kid. Almost, I think, more than any other movie. A lot of people say that about The Breakfast Club, but I really, really did not like The Breakfast Club. I didn't get it. Didn't like Grease, although Grease, I realize, is a different era. I could talk about the movies I don't like. But I really, really, really loved Back to the Future, and I completely forgot how great it was and how much I actually really loved it. So, watching the one man Back to the Future, which was excellent, reminded me how excellent Back to the Future is. Let's see, other movies. I haven't seen anything lately. I saw, let's see, other movies. Well, I've been watching the last season of True Blood. I guess that's sort of a movie. And the last few seasons have been really bad. I know it's about vampires. Look, at least it's not Twilight. I know it's silly. I don't know how they're going to resolve everything in the next few episodes. I'm actually have yesterday's episode to watch tonight. And as soon as my billets go to bed and I can sneak a bowl of cereal up here, I'm totally going to watch it. But it's the kind of thing that needs to be watched with snacks. And I don't think they want me eating in their attic bedroom. But until they tell me if they'll ever go to bed, I can sneak up some cereal and then watch True Blood. Woot! But that's not a movie. The Last Unicorn. It's a cult classic. It's, you know, I was thinking lately, and I read the book. The book is actually excellent, too. But what a great movie that is. It's weird. I have a friend doing an adaptation of Canterbury Tales as his show here at The Fringe. It's actually a South African adaptation of Canterbury Tales. And in one of the tales, there's a drinking skeleton. And I thought, you know what? There's a drinking skeleton in The Last Unicorn. And it just seemed very Canterbury Tales-esque. So I suspect there's more to that movie. I suspect there's all sorts of references that I just didn't catch when I used to watch it. So I feel I should watch it again. A movie that creeped me out as a kid was Willow. I don't know if anyone remembers Willow. It's sort of probably a Hobbit-like spin-off because everyone was really short. And there was a quest to save a baby and a witch, I think. I didn't like Willow. But in that same vein about movies, I've been thinking a fair amount about the Ewok movie lately. Because that, aside from Jaws, which I saw when I was 8 and which scared me pretty much to death, although I'm still alive, almost to death, and I was so excited about going to camp, the one year I went to camp, which was that year, and I saw Jaws the December before I went to camp, and there was no going in the lake. I wasn't a stupid kid. I could rationalize that there were no sharks in the lake. What if there was a shark in the lake? You know, I mean, the deep end at the pool was bad enough. But the lake? Oh, water skiing on the lake? No. So what could have been, I mean, it was kind of a horrible summer at camp for various reasons. But yeah, you know, Jaws, you ruined part of my childhood. You ruined my camp dreams. Thank you, Jaws. And Steven Spielberg or whoever made Jaws. Blech. But the other movie that scared the bejeebers out of me was the Ewok movie. Not the first one, but the second one, The Battle for Endor. And I'm almost afraid to watch it again because it was really scary. I don't know if anyone remembers the first movie. They're Ewoks, people, settlers on a planet. I think their spaceship crashes. I don't really remember. On this planet, and there's a family, I think a mother, a father, a boy, and a little young girl with really big girl, white girl afro going on, these curly hair everywhere, and the Ewoks find them and save them, and the little girl makes a little Ewok friend, and there's all this love between everyone's happy, not that kind of love. But then, in the second movie, everyone gets killed, like, really violently, and, you know, it was really scary. I mean, everybody got killed. That's one of the first times I thought, you know, a girl needs a survival plan. Yep. That movie? Bah. Another movie, by the way, that scared the whatever out of me was Through the Looking Glass. And that, I don't remember if it was an Alice in Wonderland TV movie. I don't exactly remember the context of it. But the Jabberwocky was in it, and he was a monster, and he came out of a picture in the wall. Does anyone remember that? And he was all attacky, and that, the fact that pictures could come to life and attack you? Not good. That's a not good sound that just came from me. Not good. Another movie, since we're talking about movies that stress me out. As a child, now, see, look, I'm regressing. Thank you, Joanne B. This is just what I needed. Now, so, the other movie is, oh, this movie was so weird. You know, I've never tried drugs. So yay me, I'm boring. But I've never actually tried drugs. And it's interesting because I was talking to someone the other day about, I said, you know, I'm surprised touring to these theater festivals and hanging out with circus people and street performers. I'm surprised there are no drugs. And the person said, everyone's high, like, all the time. All anyone does is smoke up. Haven't you noticed? I was like, no, I haven't noticed. It's been years now. I've never noticed anyone smoking anything or taking anything. And then, of course, that night, I was in the dorm going up in the elevator with these two older people who are performers. And the whole elevator, this is 3 days ago, the whole elevator smelled like pot. And I said, hey, gosh, the kids in the dorm are smoking again. And they're like, no, man, it's us. We need some munchies. So my point is, man, you know, drugs are bad. I've never tried drugs. Kind of curious about smoking some pot. I probably shouldn't talk about that. I'm not going to, though, Mom. No one's offered me any anyway. But the point is, Raggedy Ann and Andy's Magical Adventure, or whatever that movie was called, I think I don't need any drugs. I think that's enough. If that's what it's like to take drugs, I watched it as a child. I don't know if anyone remembers this movie. I think it was pretty widely distributed. I think it was a theater movie. I don't know how this was a kid's movie or how anyone got away with this movie. But it was Raggedy Ann and Andy, the dolls, going on some adventure for something. And I think it started off live action and then it, maybe, and then it went, there was just a spaghetti monster and they called it Paschetti. And there was a giant elephant. Or maybe it was bubblegum. It was a giant drug trip without the drugs. I remember eating hot dogs and Kraft dinner and 1980s kids food in front of this and just so at Lipton soup and thinking, Paschetti monster, what? So that movie, that's a weird movie. But if I'm actually, okay, I've gone over time. If I'm actually going to recommend a movie, I think I would recommend The Summer of Avia. Excellent movie. It's an Israeli movie. It was made 25 years ago, maybe. There's a sequel to it, which I've actually been saving for about 10 years because the first movie was so good. I haven't wanted to watch the sequel yet. I really should watch it. But Summer of Avia, in Hebrew, English subtitles, really, really, really good movie. I'd say that's one of my top movies that I have ever seen. I also really like Zoolander. Didn't realize Eric from True Blood was that guy also on Zoolander. He was one of the models, so that was a little bit of nerdy Zoolander trivia for you. I'm sure if people want to know more, I have many more things to say about movies, but my movie time is up, and I have to move on to the next question, which is from Sarah Shetland at Forever Knitting on Twitter. What is your favorite thing to knit for other people? Well, Sarah, the easy answer is nothing, because I freaking hate knitting. However, this year I've knit a few things for other people. I've knit for my friend Tracy. I knit for my performance partner. I made him a scarf and gloves and earlier a hat. Is that it? I think I promised my sound engineer Bennett a hat. He keeps asking for knitwear. Kind of figure his wife should knit him something, but, you know, she's busy living a normal life without knitting. So I kind of think that I'm going to have to knit him a hat or something at some point. And Eric, who's directing my show and who wrote my show this summer, which has been a huge success, so I kind of owe him something. He wants me to knit him a hat. And we're going to pick the yarn this week. And I need to finish that hat I talked about in Europe, so I can't work on two projects at once, people. Can't do it, yo. So my favorite thing to knit for other people is nothing. I guess that's not 5 minutes. The scarf was rough. Okay, we're talking about knitting. The scarf is rough because it just went on, and I wasn't sure how tall guys are and how long guy scarves are supposed to be. And the first half was the worst, but it just went on, and oh my gosh. And I forget, was it knit one, purl one, or was it just knitting? I think it was just knitting. I think I blocked that memory. I think it's the kind of thing you just block is a scarf. So you block a scarf. You block a scarf, but you also block your memory of knitting. Oh god, I made a knitting pun. Good lord. Please bring on the hate mail. Not only just a knitting pun, bad. Bad. I've got nothing else to say. If I was going to have something knit for me, I love hats. You know? Deborah's knit me a couple of little shawlettes. I really need a large shawl for my knitting cabaret as a prop. Working on her. She said she'd do it, but I haven't seen it yet. So we'll see. I think she wants me to do it. And I have some gorgeous Anzula yarn, which I actually planned to make. It was given to me by Sabrina at Anzula Yarns to make into a shawl for myself. I haven't done that yet, been a couple of years. I'm gonna do that. I just have to make this hat for Eric now and finish this hat for me, which I suspect is too small. Someone's getting a present. And then there's the mittens at home. I think I need to finish half a thumb on those mittens from last summer. They're gorgeous. Then Deborah wanted a pair. I don't want to knit for her because she likes knitting, so why should I take the joy away from her? Right? Right. Third question from Fran. Well, I love Fran. I stayed with Fran when I did the Calgary Fringe last year. Fran is Narfaz1. Kind of surprised there was another Narfaz, but Narfaz1 on Twitter. And bring in the warning here, people. You have been warned. You want to send me hate mail? Send me hate mail, because I will read it on the podcast. I'm answering this. I promise to talk about whatever people suggested, and I'm going to do it. Fran asked, shave or wax? Well, Fran, things get pretty hairy sometimes. Let's start with the face, shall we? I would say pluck your face, you know, wherever hairs decide to blossom out. I have discovered recently that you can get these home waxing things. It's, you know, you cut it, you rub it on, and you rip it off. And I've figured out that actually, I didn't usually pluck a few hairs growing, you know, on my cheeks and around my girl sideburns. I figured I didn't notice them. No one else would really notice them. But waxing one's girl sideburns off, you get such a streamlined look. It makes your eyes bigger. It looks fantastic. And sure, you break out for a few days and it's itchy as all get out. However, it looks really good. And it actually lasts a while because I think my face is so shocked I'm ripping parts of it off. Also, I think I'm kind of allergic to the wax on my face. It usually, again, breaks out. You have to time that. You have to do it before you need it. So that's the face. Moving down, arms. Oh, arm. You know, of everything, I freaking hate the hair on my arms. And I'm sure all of you are now looking at your arms thinking, oh, you know, it's just a little hair. It's not so bad. Melanie's crazy. I have long hair on my, I mean, it's long and it's dark and I'm really pale. And it looks like a pelt. Other people say it's fine. I don't think I'm being unreasonable about that. It seems very peltish to me. And that, you don't shave it. I think I shaved it once before a date that clearly wasn't memorable. Wasn't as memorable as the stubble growing back on my arms, I'll tell you that. You definitely wax your arms. I find it hard because my hair grows in every direction. It's as if someone took seeds of hair and threw it to the wind and they all landed on my arm and sprouted in different directions. So I can't really wax my arms. I go to the little Pretty Angel nail salon on the corner in New York and it's inexpensive. Not 100% sure about the whole cleanliness issue there. No, I'm 100% sure there is not all that clean. But, and they don't, usually, I have a feeling some skin usually comes off too. But once a few hairs grow back and it's, you know, it's looking good. It makes the whole world feel fresh. And it's just, I hate the hair on my arms. And you know what? Those of you who say, hey, you should get laser. Well, I'll tell you, I did. I got a couple little hairs on my face, got those lasered, giant pelt on my arms, got those lasered, spent a lot of hundreds of dollars a few years ago. I think 5 years ago now? It got worse. Apparently some people, it makes them grow more hair. So, if it didn't get worse, it certainly didn't get any better. It's no better. Not cool, people. So, unfortunately, it's not the shave, wax, or get laser. We're talking shave or wax or pluck. I'm adding that in as a third. Where else do people have hair? Ooh, toes. Hobbit toes. This Jewish girl has hobbit toes. I would say for that, I've tried to wax it. It freaking hurts. Who knew toes were so sensitive? So that, I'd say shave that. You know, you get a little stubble. It's toe stubble. This is why I'm single, people. So that's okay. You don't really notice. Legs. Now, I can wax a lot of hair on my body. And I do. I can and do wax a lot. Sorry, Savvy Bro. A lot of hair on my body. Waxing legs Nothing in my life has ever... I broke my foot. Not lately, but it was like, okay, that hurts. Feel nauseous, broken foot, cut my finger open, sprayed the wall with blood. Oh, that's a shame, Deborah, about your wall. But you know, nothing hurt. Like getting your legs waxed. Nothing. Oh, it hurts. It just, I think I'm still traumatized. I've done it, I think, 3 times. So shave. Yes, waxing would be better. I've tried plucking. Plucking actually, it gets numb after a while, but there's a lot of hair. And it's not really a viable option. But yeah, shave the legs. Shave the legs. I cannot wax. I can wax the upper legs. I cannot wax the lower legs.
Why I'm an ass, love mama. I've got lots of speed.
It's time for another contest because, hey, I have a great prize and I have a great idea for a contest. First, let me tell you about the prize, and I'm going to try to scare up a few more prizes too. But the prize I have is from Made in America Yarns, and it's a yarn kit that they put together especially for the 2014 TNNA in, or wherever it was, I think it was Indianapolis this year, in Indianapolis. And it is a World War II themed package with vintage style patterns for a hat and gloves. 2 skeins of yarn, maybe 3 actually. I'm not in New York now, but 2 or 3 skeins of yarn, a download card for my CD, and a pretty little box that it all comes in. So this is a pretty cool prize. You get a lot of yarn, you get a lot of patterns. And as I said, I will try to scare up some more, I will scare up some more prizes too. So here's the contest. I have these 2 great knitting CDs, as you know. And they should be in all the knitting stores around America. They really should, and in Canada. They're in a few of the knitting stores, but it's a fantastic record of knitting history, and they're fun. And they're actually, I mean, I am proud to say how proud I am of this music, because I invested a lot in the CDs, both time and money and effort, rewriting the songs, resetting the songs with the pianist Bennett in New York. And what we've come up with is a piece of knitting history, and I really love it. I'm really, really, really proud of it. But it's not in all the knitting stores. And since I feel like it takes a village sometimes, I think it takes a village. Or, I don't know, ideas. So people, I'm looking for ideas. Village, help Melanie get her CD in stores. I do have a distributor. I'm potentially looking at another distributor too. But that doesn't get the CDs into the stores, and that doesn't get me lecturing about this music all over and singing. And I have my knitting show, More Power to Your Knitting, Nell. Plus, I'm putting together a knitting cabaret that I'm presenting at a booking conference this January. So I have these 2 great knitting musicals, pretty much. So I have these 2 great knitting musicals, plus several hundred CDs under my bed right now. And Melanie needs the storage space. And money. Melanie needs some money. I feel like all I do is throw money into a pit. So it's time to get these CDs out into the stores and get me some knitting gigs. But not actually, I'm not actually knitting. I don't want to knit. I'm talking about singing about knitting or talking about knitting or writing about knitting. Not actually knitting. It's the Takes a Village contest. Help Melanie promote her CD. I will have prizes. If anyone has anything really amazing, even if we've given out the prizes already, I will find you another prize. Because right now my plan is sending out sell sheets and calling up every single yarn store in North America. And to be quite frank, I don't have the time. I am busy performing and traveling and doing this podcast. There must be a better way. So, Village, here's the contest. Here I am. Help me. And win a prize.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Knitting socks for little feet.
Just sitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit, one, purl, two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall?
Thank you so much for listening to episode 128 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, Melanie, I am at Melanie at pod... Sav... Shoot. I'm at Melanie at SavvyGirls dot... Right. Melanie at SavvyGirls.ca. We're on Facebook. We have a Savvy Girls Podcast page. Join our page. It's actually easier to update than Ravelry because I can do it from my phone. Also, we have a Ravelry page, though, Savvy Girls Podcast, and Savvy Girls PCast on Twitter. I'm going to be Twittering a little more. I just forget to do it. Yeah. Next time, hopefully, I'll be back with Deborah. Well, not physically, because I'm still on tour, but we will manage some kind of phone thing. And until next time, tend to your knitting, kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate